And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you to the musicians and everyone. Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. You can have your seats. Amen. Thank you to the musicians. And I'm just wondering if you'd like to have your seats for a moment. We'd like to welcome Thomas that's here visiting us in the back. Amen. Thomas, can you wave your hand? And nice to have you, Thomas, and welcome to the church service today. Amen. Thank you, Sister Charity Weimer, for taking care of the lawn care yesterday. And our brother Bill and Sister Rhonda Lamb are coming back home on their way back home. And Sister Charity stepped out and took care of the lawn. I really appreciate that. Amen. Happy birthday, Sister Tyler Powell. 25 years old today. Amen. Amen. Taylor. Amen. Taylor. Is that right? Taylor, Tyler, TJ, Tori. Amen. I'll get it right, Brother Mark. I don't know how you did it all these years, but may you have a great 25th birthday today. Amen. Amen. You're a wonderful person.
Yes,
you're a wonderful spirit and a wonderful attitude. She's always been a good nature, and I thank the Lord for her life. I want to thank those that helped at the Withall home yesterday. And I think Timothy suffered the most. He was in the emergency room last night and spent more time at the hospital, I think, than. But we thank you for the Lord touch your ankle. Amen. And just make all that right. And, you know, there's just scars of what we do for one another. Amen. That's all fine. It's all good. Thank you. Even Philip came, Sister Victoria's son. And we just pray the Lord's blessing upon Brother Peter and Sister Karen. Amen. Nice to be at your home. Sister Jenny Lay had an emergency kidney transplant that went well. And we just pray that the Lord will allow her body to receive that kidney and that she would be normal and well. Brother Albert's in the church today with wonderful eyes. Let's give God praise for Brother Albert. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I was thinking of him the last couple days, and to see him in the house of God today rejoicing and lifting his hands and praising God. Hallelujah. Brother Dennis is going to be speaking tonight. Brother Dennis from Ukraine is back working in the media this morning. And so could we have a song special tonight, Sister Eileen or Yosef or someone? Can you have a song special? I think that would go right along good with Brother Dennis's testimony. Came all the way from Ukraine and through those Washington, D.C. area. And that the Lord would bring him into our church and have him speak for us on a Sunday night. And Brother Sam Stahl will be speaking next Sunday night. That'll be the Labor Day weekend. And but we're looking forward to it, Brother Sam Stahl. Amen. And for those that have the Lord working in our lives and in your, the Lord's really walked back some today from a cliff this week, you know. And I thank you that the Lord's really blessed your life and that you're in the presence of the Lord. And thanking again for your gleaning work that you've done. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you'd like to stand in verse 14 to 21, if we could have, we're going to read this. I've asked Brother Steve Klar to read these verses to allow him to participate in the services today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. So if you have your Bible and could turn to the scripture, we're going to read verse 14 to verse 21. We're going to have Brother Steve Klar read those verses. Brother Steve, just go ahead and come to the pulpit. Amen. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. God bless you. You can have your seats. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God?
Amen.
It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Brother Timothy Washlager had the sisters read a chapter and the brothers read a chapter. I noticed in chapter 14 of Psalms, there was one verse that the brothers read that the sisters didn't have. And that was, ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. And I was thinking this morning how fitting that was. The Lord is our refuge.
Amen.
How we were all poor. Blessed are the poor. Poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that are poor financially. Blessed are those that are poor in sin today. You might be a sinner. You might be a horrible sinner. But the God that is rich in mercy followed us all the days of our lives. And I want to say, blessed are you today that are poor. Maybe poor in revelation, but God is here to give you revelation. Maybe poor to not know who you are in Christ, but God has given you a divine thought that before the foundation of the world, you were with Him. Blessed are you that are poor financially, because God gives you the burden to cry out to Him in your desperation. Blessed are you that are poor in relationships, that don't have a lot of love and don't have a lot of acceptance and don't have a lot of maybe communication, but Jesus Christ has made a way for you in this dark hour. Blessed are the poor today. He speaks from eternity to say, thank you, Lord, be ye reconciled to God. Yes. I want to thank the church for gleaning in this past several weeks. Yes. I want to thank you for your labors of love and for your work that you have put on behind the scenes as we have gleaned together, as we have collected a bit by bit and gathered just the strength of what the Lord could provide you to do in your way, in your capacity. And not everyone in the field is maybe serving the Lord the way they should. Maybe there's men, maybe there's women, maybe, as it was brought to my attention this morning, that man there, he might be smoking or something. And someone might be saying, well, what's he doing smoking and you having that in church? Well, it was a good example of maybe God's called you to glean or look for seed or look for fruit in the field. And not everyone in the field are believers. There's believers, make believers, and unbelievers in every church, in every family, sometimes in your workplace, even in a church environment. We go through things as believers, as Christians. Even we have our ups and we have our downs. But blessed are you that have been gleaning and serving the Lord in these last few weeks. I want to say today's service that this is not a concert. This is not a production. We're not here just to dress a good part and put on a show and try to be something that we're not. We're not playing church today. It's too late of an hour. As some of you know, in Israel this morning at about 4:45, Israel, instead of playing defense, they went on the offense and went into and destroyed many of the bombs and things that at 5 o'clock was scheduled to come against them. To me, it spoke of the Holy Spirit that knows the enemy and knows his tactics and knows that when he comes in like a flood, that the Holy Spirit's going to lift up the standard. Hallelujah. So Israel knew by their ways that they know that the enemy was going to come in at 5 o'clock. So at 4:45, they sent out their guns. They sent out their, and it speaks of the Holy Spirit that already knows beforehand what you and I have need of. And he'll just let the enemy go so far. He'll just let the enemy play with your family, with your life, with your mind, with your health, with your issues, so long. And then God will send out the guns and say, thus far and no further. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to say before we go into the rest of the service that the Linden Fair Witnessing Booth was your way of doing what we could in our little local area to fulfill the Great Commission. It wasn't pulpit ministry. It didn't profit our church financially. In fact, it was a huge financial outgo. But as the song was sang on Wednesday night, no matter the cost, we're going to carry this message to the lost and to the dying world. I'm very proud of you. Brother Mark Aho said this on Wednesday, and I wanted to repeat, we're very proud of you. And yes, we plan to do it all over again. We're making plans to do it in 2025. I believe that you is reflecting the heart of God, as we spoke about last Sunday in Abraham's heart in Genesis 18. You were expressing the heart of God to be able to go out and do these things that even large message churches don't do. But you and this little church, you rallied your forces. You drew in your resources. Eternal life is living for others. But the booth is over. And Brother Darrell Ward has gone back home, and he's happy to shoulder the burden with us. But my burden today isn't just for the lost that would be out in a fair or out in the world. My burden is also for those that might be right among us. Those within our own church. Those that would be within our own families. I believe sometimes we can put so much energy into others that we lose that strength for one another and the burden for one another. So the Lord laid this message on my heart today. I'd like to speak on reconciliation and coming back together. As I was studying on Friday for this and looking to the Lord for the afternoon on Friday, right while I was studying on reconciliation and coming back together, someone began to text me and send me messages that had been estranged for many, many years. And just we begin to respond back to them on Friday and say, continued Saturday, yesterday morning. And I want to thanks be to God that right as we were speaking on this subject, that the Holy Spirit was already working on the other end. Because we all, like sheep, had gone astray. We all had turned to our own way. We all were rebellious. There's no person here today that can say, I'm better than someone else, or I'm a better this, or I'm a better that. God will knock you right off your high horse when you start thinking that you're better than someone else. God keep us, Lord, that our eyes can behold the Lord Jesus. Take a coal from off the altar, Lord, and touch my lips and touch my life, Lord, and bring us back together. So as we were looking to the Lord, and I have it on the screen for you how Paul was under this burden. Brother Steve so eloquently read the scripture to be reconciled to Jesus Christ. And that God has given to us, this isn't just to Paul, but this is to the body of Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. That is the ability to bring others back into favor. That is the reconciliation we're going to look at in just a moment. I'll put it on the screen in just a moment. But reconciliation is to receive another back into favor. Reconciliation is to make an adjustment for the difference. You say, I'm reconciling the books. We're reconciling this. We're reconciling my life. I'm doing inventory. But it is God making an adjustment for the difference. When we fell short, God said, I'll pay the debt. Is anybody with me today? Is anybody with me today? When you and I fell short, God said, I'm going to make up the difference. I will restore, saith the Lord, all the years, all the months, all the weeks that you have went astray. Satan came after you with the locust and the palmer worm and the caterpillar to tear apart, to bring a divorce, bring a separation, bring a division, to separate your home, separate a church, or to move a person in their minds away from thinking correctly. We live in a mental chaotic age. God speaks into that chaos and says, I have some gospels for you to take. That'll bring your mind back to triggering correctly. You need some rest, little bride. You need your diet to change. I'm looking on the inside of the inside, down on the gut area, and I'm moving through all of your unbelief, and I'm raising you up to be a daughter, to be a son of mine. Somebody worship the Lord with me today. Isn't our God greater than all of our sin? So these thoughts of reconciliation and coming back together was in Brother John's heart. And right at the very minutes I was just preparing this, the person started texting. They started sending messages. They started, and even up through Saturday morning and through Saturday, just wanting to be restored and coming back, and a softening and a loosening. I believe restoration is in the house today. It's a reconciling back to favor. Let me put some of this on the screen so that you'll just understand. Maybe it would help some to read along. Reconcile is to settle things, to reunite and to resolve the issue. It is to merge back and to bring together. And I hope I can get to that word together. Brother Steve spoke on at-one-ment. This is a similar thought of bringing it back. Means you've been there before. So in the mind of Christ, before the foundation of the world, as a son and daughter of God, it is Satan's job to bring division and trouble. But it is God's mercy to bring it back together again. How many believe he does miracles? He does healings. That means he looks at our situation and he's able to speak a word and change it in a moment. He's a God of miracles. But he also may be a God of healing. It may not be immediate. It may not be a miracle. It may take some time. It may take some working out. It might take some surrender. It might take some tears. It might take some agony. It might take some brokenness. And nobody wants to hear what I just said in the last 30 seconds about healing. But he is a healer. Our God is the only healer. Doctors can't heal. Nurses can't heal. Medicine can't heal. I heard Brother Branham this week said, no, the medicine will just bring you, calm you down. It'll rest you. It'll bring you to a place so that you can receive your healing. But medicine does not heal a person. Only God heals the person. Hallelujah. He brings things together, not apart. But he brings it together. I'm speaking about oneness right now. I'm speaking about harmony. And Brother John realizes the power of words. Brother Steve realizes that as ministers that we're speaking the word of God over you. I'm not speaking my notes or my thoughts. These are the thoughts of God. This is the word of God I speak over your family. Harmony and oneness in Jesus' name. I speak a renewal over you. This is now to resolve and to bring things together. This was our opening scriptures. We have been reconciled. Be ye reconciled, or make yourself submissive and be prepared to accept God's medicine, his antidote. The world is dying on the steps of the doctor that has the answer for them. They are literally dying on the church steps today. When the healing is here, God's power is here, and he reconciles. He brings us back into favor again. To reunite your heart, to bring the nerves back together again. To bring the cells back together again. To resolve the things that have divided you and driven you away from him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I just want to praise you for just a little bit, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. It's a reunification. It is a reunion. That means a union with God, or a union with a friend, or a union with a spouse, or a union with a coworker, or a union with a roommate. What I'm speaking about is be ye reconciled today. Not tomorrow. Don't think about it. Well, next week maybe. Labor Day. I got vacation. School starting up, Brother John. Some, you know, what about this? And no, it's the Holy Spirit surprising you, surprising some of you. He's shocking some of you today by even ministering this message. He's bringing a settledness and a reuniting to resolve the things that has caused the separation. He's bringing it back together again. Sister Victoria works at a hardware store, and my sister Debbie had been here visiting my parents and our family, and she had been over to their home, and they have a bird bath in the backyard where they have hummingbirds and other birds and squirrels and things that come, but there had been a crack in that a bird bath, and so the water wouldn't keep up, wouldn't be in there, and it was just leaking out. And so we walked in there and asked and spoke to someone about what can we do, what kind of glue, what kind of caulking, what kind can we get, and we purchased it for them and brought it to them, and I could see it. I think I was there Friday and saw that they're in repair. It's still in a state of repair. Some of us might be like that spiritually. Say, I'm in the state of repair. Let there be a little voice squeak out from the inside saying, he's not finished with me yet. He's still working on me. Let the Lord break apart your heart of pride that would say that you've got it all together and that you're better than somebody else and that because of all your goodness is why you're so strong today and all these poor people, they've got troubles. Well, God might have something in store for you to break that prideful heart. Don't be like the Americans in Malachi, proudful and so proudful and so forth. Be a believer that can say, Lord, I need reconciliation in my life. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's already beginning to respond before you walk out of the pig pen. God's already making a way for you. You might be a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. There might be someone that has been in the message for many years, maybe raised in the message. I wrote down notes yesterday and this morning even I was on my knees. I wrote notes for a whole sermon I could have preached out of Joel in the book of Acts about the children, the sons and the daughters beginning to have dreams and the older ones having, or the young men shall have visions and the elders shall have this. And this is the response of the word revival. And I really have a concern. Brother John has a concern about some even in our own church. And I wonder what kind of visions our young men are having. What kind of experiences our young ladies are having. Our young married couples, what kind of experience are you having? We're in the book of Joel and in the book of Acts. Whenever there's a word revival, it causes a stir amongst the old and the young toward the things of God. God, give us a Holy Ghost revival today. Let my voice come through your blood today as a minister in this little church and cause a something from your presence to break our stony hearts and our will away from the will of God. Hallelujah, that the services would take on a greater meaning and our lives could be changed. How many want to see a change? That our marriages could be changed, our relationships could be changed. Our workplaces could be changed. Brother John is very burdened about this thought of reconciliation.
Yes, Lord.
So as I was thinking about it, this came into my heart about this couple that Brother Branham talked about, a man and a woman, a husband and wife. They were separating. And they had tried to make up and they went to psychiatrists and find out if he could draw their minds together, but he couldn't. They went to everything they could think of to try to stay together, and they just fussed and continually were divided. I want you to watch this as Brother Branham paints this picture of people fussing and fighting and dividing, speaking about divorce, speaking about separation. They couldn't stand each other. They couldn't even stand in each other's presence. They would go to fussing. So they decided they were going to have a divorce. They hired a lawyer to give them a divorce. He said, well, now before we do it, we'll sell the place and you all better go down and divide the spoils between you before you get the divorce and the place is sold. So the husband and wife went together. They went to the home and they went into the living room and she said, I'm going to take this. And he said, I'm going to take this. And they fussed and they stewed and they carried on one another. After a while, they'd say, well, I'll give you this if you'll take this. And all right, they went on for a while. They went into the parlor, into different places, into the kitchen, into the bedroom. They divided their spoils. That's just like the devil.
Right.
Wants to break up, wants to crack up things. Finally, they remembered there was some stuff in the attic. And they went up into the attic and they pulled out an old trunk. And they began to lay out different things and say, you can have this and you can have this. And finally, both of their eyes fell on a certain little object and they both grabbed for it. And they looked at each other. What was it? It was a pair of little white shoes that belonged to a baby that had deceased. It was part of both of them. There with their hands. I want you to watch this. Clasped together like that over this little baby's shoe. Really, who did it belong to? Whose was it? It belonged to both of them. They had things in common. Watch this. In a few minutes, as one looked to the other, tears begin to run down their cheeks. What was it? They could divide everything else, but when they come till they had something in common, the child, and it was in heaven, then the fuss was over. In a few minutes, they were in each other's arms. The divorce was settled. Peace reigned. How many think that's incredible? Just lift your hands. Just a lawyer couldn't do it. The neighbor couldn't do it. The money couldn't do it. The house couldn't do it. Only God could bring something of their past and bring it together again. Friends, you can fuss over this. You can fuss over that. You can disagree over that. You can have big differences over this and over that, but only God can bring it together. I thought this was an incredible thing that I thought of. Just a little pair of shoes could stop a divorce. Say, how close does this come to home, Brother John? Well, as I pulled up the shades to my office today and looked across of our little street, the people across the street from us are divorcing. As I look just down our cul-de-sac, just a few houses down, they're divorcing. You begin to see it all around us. People cannot find a place of commonness. They cannot find a place where they're willing to stick together. It's just amazing. I went and was trying to go to one place in Ferndale this week, and I tried my key fob, and it wouldn't work, so I had to go to another place. And I walked into that place, and there I found out there were two reasons why I needed to be there that morning. It was providence why the electric had went out in Ferndale, why I had to go back to this place. Well, one of them was a lady that was going through a divorce, and just speaking to her, and she just made these comments that we still love one another, and I love them, and we love one another. But it's amazing, as I rolled up my shades today and looked across the street, a house couldn't bring them together. Money couldn't bring them together, and they make a lot of money. Cars couldn't bring it together. Trucks couldn't bring it together. Children couldn't bring it together. God can bring it together. Yes. Friends, we ought to be thankful for the message of the hour that brings us together. If whatever you believe is driving you away or driving you apart from God's will for your life, that's not the Holy Spirit. You ought to be able to look at what's happening in your life. And I'm asking you to go deeper today. I'm asking you, and this is a whole nother service, but I was wrote in my notes, what kind of effects has this message had on us? Now I'm bringing it from the Linden Fair booth right into End Time Message Tabernacle. What has the message produced in our lives? If it brings division and breaking apart and going against God's will for your life, that's not the Holy Spirit. And I'm not here to condemn anyone today. I'm asking you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Be ye reconciled to God. Amen. That's number one. Be ye reconciled to God. Then number two is a reconciliation back to others. Let's look at it on the screen. I wanted to show you and make it just a little bit more real. Reconciling, coming back together. Number one, with Christ. I feel that is so important.
Yes, amen. Praise God.
You might be caught up in music. You might be caught up in a spirit. On the internet. You might be caught up on your cell phone. I am shocked. I am amazed how much time people can spend on their cell phone. And what has it produced in their lives? What kind of a hunger for the things of God has that produced for them? What kind of love has it brought to their home? I'm asking you today, even to our little church, and my, how Brother John, even as your pastor thinks about these things, and I wonder and I really, you know, am torn about what I ought to say about it. And am I really asking the church to pray with me about it? I'm not a dictator. I'm not someone to force people to come under my personal convictions. Right. But I would like to see a lot less cell phones in our church, in the sanctuary. I would like to see a lot less cell phones in the foyer, in the music room. I would like to see a lot less cell phones being so visible, being so out there. This is the house of the living God. This is a place that we ought to be able to meditate on the Word of God. This is a place for prayer. This is a place for talking to God. Years ago, you didn't care about your job or your work or family. They knew you were at church. You had came to church. You'd get back with them later. For some reason, it's become so, imminent. And we have created that kind of a lifestyle where we feel like we got to respond immediately. We got to respond immediately. That person can wait. When really, we have actually brought it against the Lord Jesus. We have put that something between us and Him and our prayer life. I'm just asking you as a church to pray with me about that. I wonder if we could make our sanctuary more hallowed and more holy by leaving our cell phones off. Leaving them in your purse. Leave them in your car. Leave them in your out of sight. We don't need to see your cell phone. We need to see more of Jesus. I can say I want others to see more of Jesus in my life. To reconcile with God. I'm asking you today, what more can we do to be reconciled further back to Christ? Did I offend anybody in the last 2 minutes? I ask you to pray with me about it. Number two is reconciling then with others. True reconciliation. Coming back together. Those that are at variance, those that are on opposite ends of the whole spectrum. It is the Holy Spirit allowing a shoe. Think about it. Yes. Allowing something that you have in common to bring you together. Stop a divorce. I was thinking about that today. They had went to a lawyer. They had went through all the other rooms of their house. Into their bedroom. Where maybe they had intimate relations. I know I'm speaking in a mixed audience, but the bedroom and all their intimate relations did not bring them back together. Sex is not going to bring you closer to God. And sex in itself is not the answer to bring a relationship back together. But yet you find that in the songs, in the music, in the shows, in the movies today. Don't get all quiet on me. It's exactly Satan's putting it out there in the face of this generation. And Christ has become, he's falling from being number one down to number two, down to number three. We talk about him. We sing about him. But really, do we really know Jesus Christ? Let me ask you a question. Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question? When Brother Branham, when he went beyond the curtain of time and his dear precious wife was there, and it was her that said, you've sung about it, you've preached about it, but do you really know what it is? She was talking about heaven. And I wonder if a prophet could have that kind of an experience. Could not it be that one of us could sing about heaven, talk about heaven, hear it preached about heaven, and yet we're not living heaven in our lives? We're not living in heavenly places. We talk about the message. We quote the message. We talk about Bible scriptures. We memorize it. Some go to Bible school. Some put it on the refrigerator. But is it in our hearts? I'm not being negative today. I'm just asking the church if you would pray with me that God would help us in the spiritual burdens that we carry to bring it more from our heads down to our hearts. They tried the kitchen. So all the meals, all the fellowship, all the food. I don't know what kind of food you eat. I don't know what kind of drinks you drink. But all this couple's food, all their drinks, all their recipes, all of their fad diets, all of their cult diets, all of the, I like this, I like that, I don't like meat, I like meat, I'm a vegan, I'm a this, could not bring their marriage back together. In fact, it does a lot of separation. It does a lot of division. Brother John is a minister of the gospel. I've traveled around the world, and you bring up some of these topics that I'm bringing up, it divides people. It divides homes. It divides churches. The music, the preaching, it's either too loud or it's too soft. It's either too cold or it's too hot. You're either too proudful or you're not strong enough, and it brings a division. And I say, God, bring it back together again. Bring a reconciliation. Bring our minds, Lord, back to where we can be thinking the right thoughts, Lord. So the kitchen didn't do it. The bedroom didn't do it. I remember as a young man being raised in the message and listening to the wrong music. I think I've told you that before. And I had told a lie to my father when I was a little boy, threw a gun over a fence and it had broken. And he asked me, how did that happen? I said, I don't know how that happened. That stayed in my heart for years. It wasn't until a Saturday morning when he opened the door to my room and walked in and I'm listening to the wrong kind of music. That it came out and we could fellowship. And he'd say, why didn't you tell me earlier? Why didn't you tell me before? This has been on your heart. This is broken fellowship. Yeah. I'm speaking to you today. Yeah. I'm talking to you today. Yes. Whatever divides you or breaks you apart, what brings your mind away from thinking the right way is not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be ye reconciled to God. And then number two, be ye reconciled to others. Yeah. If we've walked down this road this far and we're offended at every little thing, something's wrong with our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
This is the last time I'll speak about this. This is another place that Brother Branham talked about the same illustration. It was so much on my heart. I wanted to bring this other service in from Shreveport. It would be a good message to listen to. But I was thinking about what caused this couple that was headed for divorce. They were headed for a separation to bring them back together again. Must have been powerful. And it wasn't the preacher. It wasn't the music. It wasn't what kind of car they drove. Or whether they had a car. Whether they took, the bus. Or whether they had to walk. Y'all are getting quieter and quieter. Doesn't say anything about whether they were fat or whether they were skinny. But yet we talk a lot about those things. About our clothes or about this certain article. It was a little shoe. It was a little baby shoe of something that had happened in their lives. A baby had been born and had passed away. It was a little article that triggered something in their lives that brought them back together. And friends, I don't know what that is. I really don't care what God's going to use to bring your heart and my heart back to its place. But I believe God's a God of miracles. He's a God of healing. And some of you are closer to that than when you first struggled and you fight and you war and you're affecting people around you. How are y'all doing in the month message of influence? How are y'all doing?
Yes.
Maybe we need to listen to it again.
Yes.
Listen to it second time, third time. You are influencing people around you.
Yes.
Your bad attitude, your bad spirit is like a bruise on an apple.
Right. Yes. That's right.
The way you talk and what you text, it affects other people. I know this week in this little church, the Lord has had grace and mercy for a lot of people.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know personally the Lord Jesus has walked several back from a cliff.
Thank you, Lord.
As your pastor, and we have a small church, it's been said you have big church, you have big problems. You have little church, you have little problems. We have little problems, but they're big to the individual that's going through it. And I'm not belittling that, but one issue and one problem is not greater than our great God.
Amen.
He's greater than all my problems. He's greater than all my situation. He's greater than all the cancer and all the tumors and all the spiritual things I've got worked up in my mind. Think about it, friends. A man and a wife was about ready to separate. They were fussing and spatting and quarreling at one another. They couldn't get along. They couldn't live in the same house together. They decided to divorce and they applied for the divorce. They made agreement they'd meet at the house and divide their things so it wouldn't have to go through the court. And they met in one room and divided what was in that room and the next room and divided what was in that room. Finally, they came to a place. They went up into the attic and got an old trunk down. Some of us need to walk down that old road, well traveled, and just go back to where you lost him. Go back to where you used to have that feeling for the Lord. Right. Yeah. When you were tender, when you were soft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you would cry, when you would weep.
Yeah.
Right. When you loved everybody, when you wanted everybody to be a Christian.
Right.
When you wanted everyone to receive this message.
Yes, amen.
You just came out of the Linden Fair and I saw some of you. You were just so energetic. It's just the biggest smile on your face. It was because God had created a platform for you to be out there sharing your testimony.
Yes, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
It was about $12,000 to $15,000 what this church spent for that Linden booth. And to have Brother Darrell Ward come and the expenses. And I would do it all over again. Because I saw you out on the front lines serving the Lord, giving your testimony. Some were gave by preparing meals. Some filled up the prayer times. Didn't step in the booth one time, but they were praying. They were fasting. We would be willing to do that for one soul. Gloria, the Lord willing, is maybe going to come tonight. Sister Andrea is maybe going to bring Gloria to the service tonight. She spent 2 hours with her at a Linden coffee shop yesterday. That's all fine and that's all good. But I'm concerned about some that come to this church. We sit right amongst one another. We're with one another. We fellowship with one another. Have we really made our connection with the Lord? Last Sunday, while we were in this church service, there was a man that had came to the Linden booth and was witnessed to that lives in Canada. He went to another message church in Canada. And when we heard that Wednesday night, I felt like saying, praise be to God. I would be elated if someone came to the Lord and went to another message church. I would feel like, Brother Mark, we had fulfilled the mission. They don't need to come to our church. They don't need to give a penny of offering. They don't need to call me pastor. To know that someone had went to a message church and I was just elated. Do you all have that same attitude? Do you all have the same heart? Are we manifesting that through the week when we talk about things, when we interact with our life? Are we running after things as this couple was running after things? And it was in the old trunk there, these articles, they begin to lay them out. And she's still saying, and he's still saying, don't you cheat on me and I'll have you sued if you do that. And after a while, they run into a little white shoe. And the daddy picked it up and the mother put her hand on it. They looked at one another. In a few moments, they was in one another's arms. I know out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, I know that I'm repeating it. But whatever they found, we need to find. Whatever brought this couple back together, we need to bring into our relationships, into our lives. It's not a lawyer. It's not a partner out there in the world that's going to bring happiness. Being divorced and marrying somebody else will not bring you happiness. Because that's not the will of God for your life. Separation, just saying, I'm going to go to another church. I'm going to move to another house where another house is not going to bring you pleasure.
No.
I know personally what I'm speaking about.
Yeah.
This couple that I'm referring to actually bought that house without even looking at it physically. They moved here for a job. They moved here for a very well-paying job. I guess that didn't meet the need. I guess all the SUVs and the trucks and the sporting equipment and all the boating and the holidays didn't meet the need. What was it for this couple? It was a little shoe of a little girl that had come into their lives and had deceased. But when they found it, the divorce was annulled. It was all over, and they were back into one another's arms again. They had something in common. Friends, we don't even know their names. But when I hear this, it makes me want to rejoice. My house was full of people, and I drove up the other day. I was late arriving back at home, and I noticed the couples, both of their vehicles back at home, and I felt like going up and talking to them and trying to bring, this was already on Brother John's heart, and I thought, my. Sometimes we struggle with our own families. We struggle with our own people. We struggle with people in our own church, mocking and scoffing. Sometimes it comes right down even into the message. Where we hurt one another. And that ought not to be. Where we hurt one another so much. So you know what stopped me? I felt, well, if my own family, people in our own church, don't even listen and value, they probably won't either. So I walked into my house. I say, God, help us sometimes. The very things that God is dealing in our hearts on is the very things that we need to bring a reconciliation. And bringing it back together, if God is dealing with your heart today, I encourage you, respond to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say, but I'm in a pig pen. I'm all in this pig pen. I just hear oinking, 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 and I just see a lot of mess, and maybe all your finances is totally ran out, and you've wasted it with riotous living. Maybe that young man had texted his older brother in the message that had been back in the church and on his missions program, and he hadn't responded. Maybe he had blocked him. I'm talking about the prodigal son's older brother that was out in the field. Let's call it the mission field, okay? Africa, India, you can give thousands of dollars to somebody in the Philippines that you don't even know. And someone right in your own home or in your own church needs the Lord. I've sat right next to people that's wrote out a check for $10,000 to missions. See, they have so much money and they can talk about what they do for others. And their own home is broken. Their own relationship with the Lord is broken. It's like, where have we gone wrong? Where has our priorities gone wrong? That we think I can give $10,000 to another cause way over here. Do you know why? It's not down at home. We've lost connection with the things that should become common to us. And when I say common, I don't mean where we take one another for too common. I mean, we need to bring the shoes back into the lives again. Bring the trunks back again. And I did not say Trump back again. I said we need to bring the old trunk. Those things, those memories, those things that would bring us back together again. We need to focus on the things that would bring harmony and bring oneness. Is this okay today? Am I going to be stoned after this service? Or am I somehow connecting with some of you that can say, the Lord's already been dealing in my heart, Brother John. The Lord's already been dealing and I just didn't have the courage. I'm giving you courage today. Brother Solomon and ourselves, Sister Zion, Sister Liel, was stepping out of a certain place on Friday. We stepped out onto the street, and here comes a man that we've spoken about, a relative of Jake Finkbonner. He's another uncle, and he's just walking down the sidewalk, and I introduced him to Brother Solomon. I said, this is the man. This is the one. And he continued on his way. And I continued to give Brother Solomon the testimony again of Jake Finkbonner, a little boy that was playing basketball and fell and hit his lip on and flesh-eating disease started to go through his eyes into his brain. You all know the story. It's on the news. Just Google his name. It's there. He's there with the Pope. He's there. It's just right there. Yeah. Sister Joyce Andes, if you would talk to Sister Joyce about the fair, she would probably say she didn't pray with a lot of people. She didn't talk doctrine with a lot of people. But she did meet this one man that was the uncle of Jake Finkbonner. That began to give the whole testimony and say it was a miracle. A Catholic, they are Catholic. They believe in miracles. Hello, message believers. It would put some of us to shame, even in the message, that have dropped so far in our faith. And we get so mowed down with Satan's unbelief and depression that we don't believe God can do a miracle in my life. He can do a miracle in my family. He can do a miracle in this situation. How far have we gone? How far have we backslid in the message? Do we need a Catholic to tell us that a God is a God of miracles? I tell you, in the name of the Lord, on Friday, the Lord was dealing with our hearts on this thought of coming back together and be ye reconciled. And within minutes, I get a text. Within minutes, God deals from another country even with a certain situation. And I begin to deal with them. And even through yesterday, that was the Holy Spirit. And then as we walked out of that room, you remember, Brother Solomon, lift your hand if that's not the truth. This man's walking around right there. And we just speak to one another for maybe 2 minutes. And he continues on. That was the Holy Spirit bringing it all right back together again that our God is able. I want to say he's more than able. If you have a physical need, he's a healer. Man, we walked up the elevator in Seattle Hospital, that place where we've been now several times. And it's amazing. From the Paris situation, from Sister Heidi, a neighbor situation, to this situation, to others that I won't even mention because it's too private. The same location in the same place within several square miles, whether it's a mental part of the hospital or a physical part of, that place is full of miracles. Amen. I pray the end time message tabernacle would be like a trauma center. Would be like a place that people can come into and be saved. Amen. Come on, friends. If we can build a little prayer chamber down at a fair, certainly we can build a prayer chamber in this place. Amen. I'm asking you respectfully, if we can build one down at a fair, we can build it in the house of God. I'm asking it for the third time. If we can do it down at a fair, why can't we bring it into this sanctuary? And make it a prayer chamber and bring people into this presence and they walk out and be healed. Is anybody with me today? Is anybody? I held the hands of one lady. I stretched my hands across. There was other people in the booth and I took her by the hand and I prayed for her situation. That this depression would leave, that peace would come. In the name of Jesus, I believe God answers our prayers. And that didn't go on the prayer card. It didn't go on the chat. It don't need to. Our God answers prayers. I'm not interested in a momentary blessing. I'm interested on it carrying on to this week and then the next week and then the next week. And maybe some tonight are going to visit this church for the first time. And there's others that live within a half hour and don't come to this church. I wish they would go to some message church. Friends, we're living in a late hour. We're living at the end times. We're living in a time of politics that everything is strife and fighting. We're living, you talk about Israel today. If the natural types the spiritual and you watch Israel and that's the time piece, you ought to be saying they are in war. They are, people are against them. They are fighting them, want to destroy them. Hello, somebody. Yes. Wake up. Isn't that true in the spiritual? They're out to destroy you. They want to destroy your lives, take your family, destroy your mind, take your virtues. There ought to be some believers raise up and say, not in this house. Not in this watch. Not in my mind. I only have one life. 'Twill soon be past. Satan, you have walked all over this for too long. I'm taking a step of faith today. And Brother John's taking a step. Brother Steve's taking a step. Is there anybody here like to join us in the nursery, in the media? Hallelujah. Out on the internet. Let the Holy Spirit reconcile you back into your situation. Reach for the shoe. Reach for the trunk. You talk about Russia and Ukraine, it's all fighting and struggle and against and taking land. And it's all about money. It's about oil. It's about dictators. And none of that is going to be in heaven. Amen. Oil, dictators, money, you're not going to need that in heaven. Come on, friends. We just gone through a week of another political, democratic. It's nothing but a rah, 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 lie, lie, lie. It's true, friends. Talk about things, they'll never be able to straighten all those things out. It's your prophet that said, put an Abraham Lincoln and George Washington in every county. Just look that up, in every county. And it will not bring it back. Stop all the slogans, make America great again. America has already been cursed by rejecting the word in 1956. And it's continued to go down, down, down. It doesn't matter who's in the White House or who is the mayor or on the council. That is not our faith, and our hope is not in the council. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not here to speak about politics. Our hope is in the Lord. We ought to be carrying those flags around. We ought to be shouting that out. When our singers get up here, we all ought to be saying, thank you, Lord, for singers that have the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if they don't have the Holy Ghost, God, fill them while they're singing that song. Amen. Brother Branham was a pastor of a church sitting in the seat of the scornful. And there were people all caught up in the spirit, and they were shouting and moving in certain ways. And he's like, oh, I don't know if this is real. He said, before I knew it, I was out there with her. Some of us need to get off our little horses of, oh, this is the way we like it, and this is the way we don't like it. And I'm going to make everybody around me know that I don't like this. Shame on you. Yeah, that's right. We all ought to be working together, coming together, reconciling, bringing hearts back to Christ. Well, I'm saying a lot today. Y'all might vote me out this afternoon. I'm talking about what's happening in Israel and Russia, Ukraine, and politics, and the loosening of the morals. Yeah. Does this church agree there's a loosening of the morals?
Yes. Yes.
And worldliness is still the greatest enemy of the church.
Yes.
It'll creep right into the message. It'll creep right into this church. And I'm just going to say it. The ministry has full rights to go right down that pathway and say it if sin comes into this church. They don't need your bad attitude and your little rotten spirit and you get in all of your little huffy puffy ways. We're not going to bow down to it, friends. We're all trying to die to ourselves. We're all trying to get out. What kind of service would we have if every person got out of the way and was filled with the Holy Spirit? We talk about loosening of morals and the backsliding amongst people and groups and families. Families that used to be very strong in the message. And you see them like dominoes falling, falling, backsliding. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're cold on God. Maybe you become distant. Maybe you're the biggest logjam in the whole situation. Brother Peter Withall told me yesterday about the beavers. He looked up the mountain. It was pouring raining yesterday. We spent 2 hours in the rain. That's what we did yesterday. And Brother Peter looked up the mountain. He said, there's a mountain up there. Okay. He said, the beavers up there built these huge, this big, well, how big was it, Brother Peter? 60 foot, well, I'm say it in church. I don't want to be cussing. Amen. It was a beaver thing. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And 60 feet high. And all of a sudden one day it broke loose and water came down their mountain. And it destroyed houses, roads, and all kinds of things. Do you know what we need? We need the Lord to do a log jam breakage up in our lives. We, all the beavers and all the spirits and all the things that you bring in and all your complexes and luggage from your family strain. I might as well say it, Brother Steve. All of the strain of your family and your country you were born with and your language. Hallelujah, Lord. The signs of the times and the earth is groaning. Earthquakes in the land. Financial uncertainty. Breakdowns of mental faculties in people. With the hybrid foods and the health crisis and wars and rumors of wars. And right in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit sending out a word. Sending out a message. Be ye reconciled to God. Say, Brother John, I'd like to talk to you. When is the day for this to happen? Today is the day for you to be reconciled to God. Today, right now. Before you go to lunch, before you go walk out of these doors. I'm being serious. Before you go home, before you go to the restaurant, before you drink your afternoon coffee or take your afternoon lunch nap or whatever you do, today is the day. Happy birthday, Sister Pal. Today is the day that you say, Lord, anoint me to find the trunk. Anoint me, Lord, to reach for the shoe. Anoint me, Lord, to bring these things back together again. What Sister Joyce Andes had saw on Wednesday at the fair. What Brother John saw on Friday afternoon come walking out of the place. What the Lord dealt with Brother John's heart days ago about reconciliation. What he dealt with some of your hearts on reconciliation. He's confirming right in this church service right now. You believe, lady? All right, let you and I talk just a moment then. If you're a believer, I believe that is truth. You have a wonderful atmosphere. Whew. Wouldn't that be wonderful, Brother Mike, if the prophet said that about us? You have a wonderful atmosphere. But you're suffering. Is it possible to have a wonderful atmosphere? Can you increase my volume, Brother Karim? I just need to close the service. You have a wonderful atmosphere, but you're suffering. Your trouble is bad enough that you've been to a doctor. Not too loud, though. And I see him, this is the doctor, doing something, writing. Oh, it's heart trouble. He's writing, it's heart trouble, and you have heart trouble, don't you? And he had something around your arm. It's a blood pressure. It's very seriously about 300. Is that right? I see him shake his head and walk away. Maybe that's what that couple was doing when they walked out of the bedroom and walked out of the kitchen. They were shaking their head and they were... Because whatever's written on that paper, I want this and I want that, and you do this and I'll sue you and you do that, never brought peace. Here's a prophet seeing a doctor writing something on a tablet of paper and walking out. He thinks you're going to have a stroke at any time. That's what he said to you. That's what he said to you. That's what she said, texted to you. That's what you heard over here, but that's not what he said to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. I'm trying to get some of your attention.
Yes, yes.
I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to do that. I think we're going to go over here. Maybe you wrote it down on a tablet of paper, and God's not even acknowledging what you wrote down on the piece of paper. That's not what he said. Say, I've been thinking to do these things. I've been thinking I'm going to do this. And the Lord, today you would say, this is so serious, Brother John. And it's like the Lord's not even acknowledging it. Brother Timothy, it's like the Lord's not even acknowledging it. Like we skipped that verse, the brothers read and the sisters read, but Brother John picked it up immediately. The very verse that the brothers read that the sisters didn't have in their chapter was about the poor. And that's where we get clogged up sometimes. Poor in spirit, poor financially. Your love life is poor. Things are just going poor in your life. All the right things are poor, and all the things that are wrong are great. The anger, the desperation, the trouble. And you say, I've got it all written down on a piece of paper. That dear so-and-so letter. But that's not what he thought. That's what the doctor thought. And that you're not thinking right. You're thinking your own thoughts about it. Shaking your head. And if you keep on with that bad attitude, you'll go crazy. It's time to move over to what he thinks about it. Now, who was in the room there to hear him say that and come back and let me see it right here before me now? Jesus Christ. Let's all say Jesus Christ. Let's all say Jesus Christ. What told Brother Branham that this doc, what showed Brother Branham about this pad and what he wrote on? Who showed him the blood pressure set us three? It was the Lord Jesus. Say, Brother John, when I lost that little girl, when that child died and we had to bury it, it was a horrible time. It ripped our hearts out. There was a lot of tears. There was a lot of upset. Lord, how could this happen? Little did you know, it was that very incident that was going to bring that marriage back to oneness again years later. It was a little shoe. It was a little trunk. It was something in that house that had been neglected way up in the attic. Jesus Christ, he's interested in you, isn't he? You believe you'll never have a stroke now, will you? God bless her now. May her faith be confirmed in Jesus' name. Amen. Go believing with all your heart. End Time Message Tabernacle. We've talked about it. We've witnessed about it. We just came through 10 days. But let's bring it into our homes. Let's bring it into our families. Let's bring it into our young men, into our wives, into our sons, into our husbands. Let's bring it. I'm closing with this testimony. The lady suffers. With an extremely, I've tried to bring this for the last 4 weeks. Those in the media, Sister Amanda's not here today, but she would know. I've had this in my notes, so that's why I'm just taking a few extra minutes, and I'm not sorrowful about it at all. Amen. It's the Lord showing compassion.
Amen.
It's the Lord showing mercy.
Yes.
Anybody that's into sports know if it goes into overtime or extra innings, that's when everybody's on the edge of their seats. Maybe you checked out and left a long time ago because you didn't want to get caught up in the parking and you didn't, whatever. Little you find out, you turn on the radio and your team scored and tied it and now they're about ready to score and you're like, oh man, why did I get up? Some of us need to be corrected in the house of God. We clock out, we check out, we sit on our little hands and we need to lift them up and say, Lord, help me, Lord Jesus. Here's a lady suffering with an extremely nervous condition. She's wanting prayer for her eyes too because her eyes are getting dimmer and dimmer. They're going out. It's a hardening of the nerve in the eye. The optical nerve is dying, which is shutting off the sight. But you're all upset about something and you're weary. I see you shake your head or something. Yep. People shaking their head, maybe rolling their eyes. He saw it all. Upset and weary. You even wonder sometimes if you're actually saved. You'd had trouble with that. That's true. You've doubted your experience of being saved. But I'll tell you now, you are. I'll tell you now, you are. Praise Hallelujah, God. Brother Eddie. I tell you now, you are. Praise now God. Ye are the sons of God. Now you are the daughters of God. Not will be when you repent and when you're a good person. Now you are the sons and daughters of God. God help our preachers to preach that.
Amen.
But this was caused by a call, by some kind of shock you've had. I'm glad we have a word that can go to the cause. Caused by a shock, a news or something that shocked you all at once and caused this. I think it was the death of your husband last fall. This was August the 10th. And Brother Branham in Edmonton is reaching back to the last fall when this lady's husband passed away and it shocked her. And it caused her weariness. Then it caused her to doubt her experience and wonder if she's saved. What about you in the masterpiece, the sister that had the interview, wondering if she had the Holy Ghost to have a prophet? And she called him her pastor, say, you have. Wouldn't that do a wonderful thing if God said, everything's all right?
Yes.
Just keep walking. Take another step. Just take another step today. He's not asking you to jump to the top of a ladder or do a you're not an Olympic star. You don't need to be. Sons and daughters of God are being led by the Spirit. Just take my hand and take a little step today.
Yes.
Mila could take this step.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Brother Wyatt could take this step.
Yes.
Unless you become like little children.
Right.
You just ask Sister Rachel. If Wyatt needs something, he just cries for it.
Yes.
He's hungry, his diaper's wet. He wants to be held. Just cry.
Yeah.
I don't, in the middle of the night, just cry.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody's over for a big, you know, birthday party, just cry out. Just scream. And everybody will stop and say, what's happening with our little child? Hello, sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Have we become so grown up that we're tripping over one another's canes and wheelchairs? And we can't hardly sit together and have fellowship anymore, lest our differences come up and this opposite and that person. Shame on all of us.
Right.
We claim to be in the capstone, and I wonder if we still have brotherly kindness and sisterly kindness that we need to major on. And Brother John needs to close. But here's a lady. Her husband had passed away the last fall. And that caused the sadness. God bless your heart, lady. Let's move the sadness. Everything will be all right. Then he falls into prayer. Merciful God, as I stand before, I'm in closing. This dear woman, just watch how Brother Branham talks to people.
Yes.
Maybe we can start with how we talk to one another.
Yes.
Merciful God, as I stand before this dear woman and knowing that there is a sad spirit around her, I ask for thy divine mercy and guidance. That's number one, the word you speak. Number two, and I know I cut it off, but laying my hands upon her, I charge that sad spirit to leave the woman. This is our last quote. God, Christ lives. Christ cannot no more take a word back than he said than nothing, because he's God and he knows everything before he says it. And I condemn the spirit that would harm this woman.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Can the church say amen?
Amen?
How long did he pray? How long was his prayer? You don't need to drag them into an all-night prayer meeting. I doubt you're praying all night. You don't need to drag that person into a three-hour prayer or an hour prayer. Just bring them into the presence of the Lord. Speak words over them. If you lay hands on them in a right way. I just want to ask you. Now he's talking to the lady. Wasn't it something you was worried about backsliding or something like that? Something on that order. Well, look, let me, about your experience. Look now, sister, this may hurt a little bit in the audience. Brother John said some things that probably some people are hurt about today. And I hope if you're offended that you just allow the honey and the spirit that it's being set in. And Brother Steve, when we minister, and others, Brother Dennis tonight, that you'll know the whole motivation and motive is to bring us closer to Christ. Here's the sister, and Brother Branham's saying things, but he says, it may hurt a little bit in the audience, but if you don't believe this, I'm talking to the woman. God don't run his business like that. You know you were once saved. No, he's talking about this lady being saved. You know that. If God saved you here, knowing he was going to lose you down here, he defeats his own purpose. He can't lose you. He can't lose you. He can't lose you. I can't be lost. I am saved. I am healed. I am recovering. I am stronger. God is with me. Come on, friends. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, soften my heart. Soften my life. Do a miracle in our family. Do a miracle in my home. Do a miracle in my church. Do a miracle for my job. Do a miracle in my career. Do a miracle with my loved ones. And bring healing to the house. Bring healing to the relationship. Lord, if you don't do a miracle which is immediate, I accept your healing. It might take a week. It might take a month. It might take 6 months. It might, oh, Lord, a year? Is that why we're still here, friends? God is taking some years of healing for us to get ready, because some of you wouldn't have been ready a year ago, 2 years ago. Sister Becca, where were you 3 years ago? Come on, friends. Cynthia, where were you 5 years ago? Come on, friends. Hannah's leaving tomorrow. I pray she goes back to Australia saying that Sunday morning service did something for her.
Amen.
Let's take a message back to our loved ones that God's doing something in my life. Maybe that cell phone that's always so visible and visible and in your back pocket, just slide it in your purse. Slide it in where it's not visible. If it hasn't brought more of a oneness and a unity, you really need to ask the Lord, do I really need to be spending so much time on it? It's the devil trying to cheat you out of it. Watch what Brother Branham's talking about, this eternal life. He might have had to take you off the earth because of your sin, like the man in the Bible who was living with his own mother, and they turned him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved. But he can't lose you. You're his. Before the world began, he ordained you to eternal life. I hope somebody believes this today. I trust someone's believing this today. I'm believing somebody in this church is going to believe this today. I believe someone that's on the internet is going to say, Lord, I believe your word today. If Brother John didn't believe that, we'd shut down the internet. We'd stop recording. We'd stop doing more than just our services. We'd stop doing that. We'd cancel the Linden booth. We'd stop doing and say, I'll see you next Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Stop Wednesday night. Not very many come anyway. No Sunday nights. Everybody's tired. See you next Sunday. That's the way the world's going. Don't go that way. Lord, put a spark back into our lives. I pray, God, put a love back into this church. Put a desperation.
Yes.
How many know September the 1st, next Sunday, is the anniversary of the token and desperation?
Yes.
I pray God put a burden and a desperation more back into this church.
Yes.
Put a token message about ready to be applied to our lives.
Yes, Lord.
It's the devil trying to cheat you out of it. Call him a liar.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, Jehovah Jireh, has provided a place for you.
Hallelujah.
Go get it. Live happy.
Yes. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
By the way, happy 25th wedding anniversary, Brother Terry Smouts and Sister Shannon.
Amen.
Abigail, Hannah, Elizabeth.
Amen.
They were miracles to even be born.
Yes.
So God's taking care of these miracles.
Yes.
He's going to make sure when they cross over into the other side, Brother Terry, Sister Shannon, and all three girls can come flowing in together. Hallelujah, saying, we made it. What about your children, Emily? I pray for you today. What about our loved ones, Becca? We pray for you today. What about our children, our grandchildren? Some of your relatives are struggling spiritually. Let's believe that God puts messages on the pastor's heart, on the prophet's heart, on one another's heart. God already put that burden in your heart saying, honey, there's got to be a change around here. And before you knew it, before the Sunday ended, God had already confirmed it. That's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet today. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. It's time to come back together. It's time to reconcile. Today is the day. Oh, Jesus, influence our lives as we bow our heads. Lord, influence our lives today, Lord. By the gentle Holy Spirit, influence us, Jesus. I'm asking for your presence to fall upon this little church. Before we leave out this Sunday afternoon, let the Holy Spirit fall on me. Fall on my life, fall on my spouse, fall on my children, fall on my loved ones, fall on, Lord Jesus, fall on our little church here on Bennett Drive. How you brought us, Lord, from a little nothing, from a community center, and you gave us this wonderful place. I don't know if what we'll be worshiping under a tree next week or the next week. They might try to shut us down after all of these things. But I pray the Holy Spirit would rise up within a mighty army, within this group of people, and make them, Lord, so powerful. They'd begin to speak things under prophecy. Our young men would see visions. Our old men would dream dreams. Our young ladies would be full of the Holy Ghost. That our husbands and our wives would begin to speak about things that are eternal. Our homes would begin, the lights would be able to come on again. I pray in the name of Jesus you provide for every need in the local church. Provide for every need here, Lord, financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. As we had this burden on our hearts and spoke some of it today, I pray now as we discharge it. Maybe this afternoon, Sister Eileen could play. Brother Dennis begins to give his testimony. Some of us here in North America are so spoiled. I remember them talking about their dear little daughter, Brother Dennis and Sister Eileen's little daughter that's in our church. How they're going through all these checkpoints, and there's checkpoints, and Brother Dennis could be taken at any time. I remember them telling us they stripped all of his clothes off at one of the checkpoints. Here's a little girl. That's her daddy. Where are we going, mommy? It wasn't until they finally came into a free country and they saw the flag that they could even tell her where she was from. Friends, surely we can have compassion for one another. Surely we can encourage one another, not knowing the cross that someone else bears. What they're going through. We are so needy today. We're so needy. Lord, I'm so empty. I'm so drained. Maybe somebody would say, Lord, I'm spiritually bankrupt. Brother John, if you only knew where I was, I don't even want to tell you. I'm so embarrassed. Maybe that's you today. Maybe there's one of our brothers or sisters that has so much stink of the internet on them, what they've been looking at privately. They would be so ashamed of their screen time versus their prayer time. They wouldn't even know where to start. Their face would get all red. They would just want to slide down into a hole. It's like, Lord, am I even a Christian? Lord, I pray that you would put some feeling back in our hearts again. We're influencing people. But I want to be influenced by you, Jesus. I want to be reconciled fully in my heart back to you today. I want to influence others around me. I want to be reconciled to others around me. I want to have the right spirit. I want to be tender. With every head bowed, I wonder who would maybe slip up your hand and say, the word spoke to me today. The word spoke to me today, and I want to follow and be reconciled and come back together. I'm repeating this, Lord, to you, your word. Heavenly Father, you look out over this congregation. Let all the angels take note. We're not looking around. We're not looking at somebody else like we're some big somebody, some religious person. Lord, if that spirit is in anyone here, would you take it out right now, Lord? Let us realize that without you, we are nothing. But with you, we are more than conquerors. We are more than able. We love you, Lord, today, my healer, my savior, my comforter. Saturate me, Lord. Before we go, may every person sense this presence come deeper within their lives, I pray. In Jesus' name.